Well, good evening. Welcome to Manor Park's carol service this year. It's great to see you all here, to see familiar faces and some new faces. It's lovely that you could join us this evening for our carol service. Just a couple of quick pointers. There is a creche if you need it for your kids. It's a sort of a parent-led thing, so the room's there with the toys. So if you want to take them out, please feel free, but feel free to keep them in as well, whichever you'd prefer. There'll be refreshments served afterwards in the other hall, so do stick around to join us for that. The evening will run without me hopping up and down between bits, so when the music strikes up, do stand up, and when it finishes, retake your seats. But I hope you enjoy your time with us this evening as we sing some carols and hear God's word read as we look at the Christmas story together. So we'll start with a song. Let me just pray for us as we begin this evening. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can come here this evening to sing carols, to hear your word read, and later to hear what the true meaning of Christmas is. Father, I pray that as we sing familiar songs, as we hear familiar readings, may we hear them with fresh ears this evening, as we come to see what the true meaning of Christmas is, of Jesus come down to earth to take on the form of humanity. Father, thank you for the gift of your Son. May we enjoy this time together, but ultimately may you meet with us and show us who the true person of Jesus is this evening. We pray in your almighty name. Amen.
First reading is from Micah chapter 5, beginning at verse 2. But you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though you are small and among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. He will stand and shepherd his flock. in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they will live securely. For then his greatness will reach the ends of the earth, and he will be their peace.
Second reading is from Isaiah 9, verse 1 to 7. To us a child is born. Nevertheless, there'll be no more gloom for those who were in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, but in the future, he will honour Galilee of the Gentiles by the way of the sea along the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you, as people rejoice at the harvest, as men rejoice when dividing the plunder. For, as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from the time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this.
Gospel of Luke. Luke investigated many of the earliest eyewitnesses of the life of Jesus and then composed this account.
And the story begins up in the hills of Jerusalem, the place where Israel's ancient prophets said that God himself would come one day to establish his kingdom over all the earth.
In the city is the temple run by the priests, and one of them, named Zechariah, was working in the temple when he had a vision that freaks him out. An angel appears and says that he and his wife will have a son. What's this all about?
Well, Zechariah and his wife, we're told, are very old. They've never been able to have children. And Luke's setting up a parallel here with Abraham and Sarah, the great ancestors of Israel, because they too were very old and could never have kids.
Yet God gave them a son, Isaac, which is how the whole story of Israel began.
And so Luke's implying here that God's about to do something that significant for this people once again.
The angel tells Zechariah to name the son John.
And then he says that this son's going to fulfill a promise of Israel's ancient prophets that somebody would come one day to prepare Israel to meet their God when he arrived to rule in Jerusalem.
Because right now, Jerusalem is ruled by the Romans.
Yeah, specifically, it's governed by a man named Herod, who's a puppet king under the Roman Empire. And so the Jewish people wanted nothing more than to be free and govern themselves in their own land.
So this is shocking news. Everything's going to change. God's on his way. But how is he going to arrive?
Well, to find out, Luke takes us out of Jerusalem and then up into a small town in the hills of an out-of-the-way region called Galilee. And there we find a young woman named Mariam, or we call her Mary. She was engaged to be married.
And then an angel appears to Mary, saying that she's going to have a son.
She's supposed to name him Jesus, which in Hebrew means the Lord saves. And he will be a king like David, who will rule over God's people forever.
And then Mary asks, okay, well, how is this possible? Because I'm a virgin.
And she's told that the same Holy Spirit that brought life and light out of darkness in Genesis chapter 1 is going to generate life inside her womb. God is about to bind himself to humanity through the conception and the birth of the Messiah.
And so Mary goes from some backwoods, no-name girl to the future mother of the king?
Exactly. In fact, she sings a song about how this reversal of her own social status points to a greater upheaval to come. Through her son, God's going to bring down rulers from their thrones and exalt the poor and the humble. He's going to turn the whole world order upside down.
So when Mary was really pregnant, she and her fiancé, Joseph, had to go down to Bethlehem.
Yeah, there was a decree across the Roman Empire about new taxes, and so everybody had to go get registered in the town of their family line.
There were so many visitors in Bethlehem, they can't find a guest room.
And so the only place they can find is a spot where animals sleep.
Now nearby were some shepherds with their flocks, and an angel appears, which, of course, freaks them out. But they're told to celebrate, because tonight in Bethlehem, a savior has been born.
Yeah, they're told to go and find this baby, and they'll know that it's the Messiah, because he's going to be wrapped up and laying in a grimy feeding trough.
Yeah, which is pretty gross.
Totally. And then these shepherds, who aren't very clean themselves, they go and find the newborn Jesus in this really dingy place, and their minds are blown. They go home wondering what on earth is about to happen.
And this is all really strange. I mean, if God's really coming to save the world, this isn't how you would expect him to arrive. Born in an animal shelter to a teenage girl, celebrated by no-name shepherds.
Exactly. I mean, everything is backwards in Luke's story, and that's the point. He is showing how God's kingdom was first revealed in these dirty places among the poor, because Jesus is here to bring salvation by turning our world order upside down.
Luke 2 and chapter 8. Now there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favour rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
this reading is from Matthew chapter 2, the Magi visit the Messiah. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the peoples, chief priests, and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. When they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh, and having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route.
Matthew chapter 2, verses 13 to 23. They escaped to Egypt and back to Nazareth. When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up," he said. "Take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I call my son." When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious. He gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. Then what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. "A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning. Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more." After Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who were trying to take the child's life are dead." So he got up, took the child and his mother and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning in Judah in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. Having been warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee, and he went and lived in a town called Nazareth. So was fulfilled what was said through the prophets, that he would be called a Nazarene.
We're going to listen to a song being performed to us in a second, and then after that we're going to sing another song together, which is, I guess, a more modern carol. Both songs speak of God coming to become man in the form of Jesus. Both songs pick up on that theme, but they also go on to tell a little bit more of the story, that really Christmas is just the beginning of a bigger story for us as Christians. Christmas, we celebrate Christmas because God came to be born, but we celebrate it really because of the purpose that he came. And I just want to pick out a few of the words in these next couple of songs, one that we're going to hear and then one that we'll sing. And the one that we're going to hear says, "Taken on flesh," that's Jesus, he's taken on humanity, "taken on flesh, conquered death's sting, shattered the darkness and lifted our shame." And then in a verse it says, "Oh, the freedom our Saviour won, the yoke of sin has been broken. Once a slave, now by grace, no more condemnation." And that's true because of what Jesus did when he died on a cross. And then the song that we're going to sing together says, born to die and born to save. That's Jesus, was born to do both of those things. Born to take our sin away. Light and life to all he brings. With the angels let us sing. So as we sing these songs, it's about remembering that the Christian story of Christmas is about more than just Jesus coming, but it's what he came for. So let's listen to this first song and then sing together.
Oh, the mercy our God has shown to those who sit in death's shadow. A child is born. He who is mighty has done a great thing. Taken all flesh, conquered death's sting, shattered the darkness and lifted our shame. Holy is his name.
Children, I'm going to speak just for 5 or 10 minutes to your mums and dads and your grandmas and grandparents and whoever else is here. So I want you all to be really nice and quiet for me. Can you do that?
Yeah.
You think so? Okay. Right, you're on notice then. This year I had this Christmas card come through my door. I think it came in an envelope. It's a really nice card. If it's come from someone in front of me, which I think it has, thank you very much. I think it's even handmade. So there's the card, and it's got these words on it. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. We've already heard the story. On the night Jesus was born, there were a group of shepherds, and those shepherds were guarding their flocks from thieves, wolves, lions, And all of a sudden, a messenger appeared to them. And that messenger said these words, "I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." Now, when the very same day I got this card, I was reading an article in Time magazine, the very same day I got this card, and it was about families in America who had lost loved ones through gun crime. They'd lost a mother, a daughter, a brother, a sister, through a bullet. And the article was all about their sorrows, and not only about their sorrows, it was about the violent ripples that flow out of an event like that, not only to the family concerned, but to the marriage and to the relatives. A crime like that has violent ripples. And as I was reading that article in one hand, and I had the card at this hand, I said to myself, how on earth is the news of this baby boy I bring you, how is it good news of great joy for all the people? How is this news good news to somebody who's just lost a child through a bullet, or a mother, or a sister? How is it good news? And I had to work through that one. And maybe you're this evening, I'm sure for most of us, it's not gun crime, is it? But how is this good news for anyone who at the end of 2018 is suffering? And it can be all kinds of different sufferings, can't it? How is the birth of Jesus good news to those who suffer? Because I figure that if it's good news to those who suffer, then it'll be good news to everybody else as well. The answer is on the right-hand side, and the answer lies in who it is that was born on this day. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people today in the town of David. Who? Just an ordinary baby like you, like me? No. He is a Savior, has been born to you. He is Christ, and He is Lord. Savior. He came into the world to save us from the consequences of our sin. Christ means Messiah, means long-promised anointed King, and Lord means God. So the answer to how this is good news of great joy for all the people lies in who Jesus is. And I want to share with you the three things I came up with as I wrestle with this great question this week. Beautiful Christmas card in one hand and Time magazine in the other. And I came up with this, and I think it's the truth. It's good news of peace with God. The birth of Jesus is good news of a God who understands us. And thirdly, it's good news of life beyond the grave. Allow me just to expand on those briefly. First of all, the birth of this baby is good news of peace with God. Many years ago, there was a psychologist by the name of Abraham Maslow, and he suggested that all human beings have a hierarchy of needs. It's an interesting idea. It makes a lot of sense. At the very bottom are our physical needs, the needs of our bodies for warmth, food, clothing, shelter. And then higher up, there are things like love and esteem and belonging. And this is a really useful way of understanding human needs. But you know what? As helpful as it is, Maslow missed off our greatest need. What is your greatest need and my greatest need? It's not a bodily need. It's not even a mind need. Our greatest need, according to the Bible, is a spiritual need. Because we've been made and created to know God, to love God, to worship God, to be in fellowship with Him, to glorify Him. God has made us to know Himself. And that's our greatest need, and Maslow missed it out. But you and I are estranged from God. We're born into the world, and those spiritual needs can't be met because we're cut off from Him by our wrongdoing. The Bible says that as a result of our wrongdoing, we are estranged from God. And therefore, our spiritual needs of knowing God and loving Him and glorifying Him and living for Him are cut off from us. And that's where Jesus comes in. Jesus came into the world to pay for our sins. The big barrier of our sins between us and God, our wrongdoing. We don't love God as we should. We don't love our fellow man as we should. And Jesus came into the world to reunite us with Him, with God, by paying for our sins. And He did that when He died on the cross. Hark, the herald angels sing. Glory to the newborn King, peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. I wonder this afternoon what you would say your greatest need was on the 23rd of December 2018. I know many of those families in that Time magazine would have said, my greatest need is justice, or my greatest need is comfort. I wonder what you would say. Healing, peace in your family, money, what would you say? The Bible says that your greatest need is to be right with God. It's greater than any other need you presently perceive as your greatest need. And God sent His Son, because He loved us, into the world to restore our broken relationship with God and to bring us peace with Him. That is good news to all people who will believe in Jesus Christ. In the second place, the birth of Jesus is good news because it tells us of a God who understands. We've been seeing some really high words this evening in all our carols, and it is a great mystery, but Christians believe that Jesus is both God and human. He's truly divine. And that glory was veiled when He came into this world, and He is fully human. He's 100% a real human being and 100% divine. Veiled in flesh, the Godhead see. Hail the incarnate deity. And yet human. He was little, weak, and helpless. Tears and smiles like us, He knew. And then when Jesus grew up, He experienced all the things that you and I might experience one day. He lost a good friend, Lazarus, and He lost his father, Joseph. He was betrayed. He was despised. He was rejected. He was mocked. He was vilified. He was mistreated, and He experienced extreme physical pain when He was beaten and crucified. And then He rose victoriously, ascended into heaven, and at this very moment in heaven, there is seated a man. So in heaven, God understands what it's like to live in a broken world. He understands all the sorrows as well as all the joys that we experience, and nobody can say, God doesn't understand me. God doesn't understand what I'm passing through, because Jesus now sits at God's right hand side, and He is God Himself. And in heaven, there is somebody who understands from the inside what human beings pass through in this world. So the birth of Jesus is good news of peace with God. It's good news of a God who understands us. And finally, I would say to all of those who suffer, the birth of Jesus is good news of life beyond the grave. This life is very short. All of us will one day die. I was so sad when I heard the passing of Paddy Ashdown. You heard that this week. And I remember in my more formative years, he was a major politician. And so sad, within just a month of hearing of his illness, he passed away at the age of 77. And life is very short. Where have 365 days gone? Before we know it, we'll be singing at a 2019 carol service. The Bible says that the span of our lives is like mist. That's just here today. We're here for a moment and then it's gone. Our lives are so short. And what happens after we die? Jesus died and then he rose from the dead to demonstrate that there's life beyond the grave. And Jesus promises to all who believe in him, this is what he says, I'm the resurrection and the life, and whoever believes in me will live even though he dies. And the promise of the Bible, promise of Jesus, is that those who believe in him will one day rise from the dead and go forever to a place the Bible calls heaven. It's a place where there's no sorrow, there's no crying, there's no mourning, and there is no death. I don't know if you've seen the John Lewis ad this year. How many of you have seen the John Lewis ad? It's a story of a little boy who gets a present and he grows up, and I think it's meant to mirror the story of Elton John. He gets the present of a piano and it transforms his life. Very rarely do material gifts do that. How rarely do material gifts completely change someone's life like that? That's extremely rare, isn't it? But this good news about a baby being born in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago will change our lives if we believe it, because it will give us peace with God. It will give us comfort of a God who understands us through all the trials of this passing life, and it will give us a joyful hope of eternal life beyond the grave. Why don't we stand and sing together our last carol, which I think is Joy to the World. So would you like to stand with me and let's sing this one together. Lights out, please.